CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
What a shock. Chimmel Doodle Wildline.
The following contest is scheduled for one fall. It is the Gravy Bowl Invitational, and it is for the World Wrestling Federation Women's Championship.
Wrong!
The following is the Gravy Bowl Invitational, and it is for the World Wrestling Federation Women's Championship.
Women's.
It's women's.
Wrong!
I'm begging you.
The following contest is the Gravy Bowl Invitational, and it is for the Women's Championship.
Wrong!
Only about six or seven of those.
The following contest is for the World Wrestling Federation Women's Championship, and it is the Gravy Bowl Invitational.
It's women's!
Wrong!
The following is the Gravy following contest is the Gravy Bowl Invitational, and it is for the World Wrestling Federation Women's Championship.
The Gravy Bowl.
Wrong, 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 wrong.
But it's still ring announcing that it'll be better than anything that ever falls out of Michael Cole's mouth from here to eternity. So, with that in mind, this is the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I must say that I will continue a vote of confidence to Triple H if it means that Michael Cole walks off into the sunset and will never be seen again in WWE programming. I seem to be missing a couple of individuals, so if those individuals happen to be listening, come on and jump in, because right now it's just me. And my number two is fourth.
And let me just say that I would put a vote of confidence in had they at least had the Raw GM chime in just to vote no confidence.
I still think that the Raw GM was that the anonymous Raw GM was Triple H, but I still can't prove it, and he hasn't said anything about it. So, with that in mind, we have the chat room open if anybody wants to come by blogtalkradio.com to listen in and express your opinions. You are more than welcome. We've had a rather unusual week, and I do want to go into the walkout in depth, but I want to take a quick peek at the pay-per-view this past Sunday that has been overshadowed by the week's events. Apparently, I'm one of the few among the crew with North American Wrestling Connection that actually put the money down to see the pay-per-view, and Dish Network, you do not string me around like I am your least common denominator.
Who does that?
Besides Insight Communications. The fact that I was not even sure I was going to have the pay-per-view appear on my television until 3 minutes, and yes, I counted, 3 minutes before pre-show. I should not have to go through that nonsense, and I will not go through it again. Fourth, did you see the pay-per-view?
I actually didn't. I wasn't quite feeling this pay-per-view. It just felt like too much of a rehash of Night of Champions.
I'll give them credit, though. They went ahead and threw in a couple of bonus matches for us just to, you know, say, hey, here's a reward for at least trusting us to coming by and jumping in on the festivities. I enjoyed it, and of course, I saw that the internet is bitching and moaning and whining about the, oh dear, clusterfuck that happened at the end. Sorry, guys. It's to continue to promote the anarchy that is supposedly going on the show. simple summation, Miz and Truth got to crash the match after it was over when Del Rio managed to pull a fast one on John Cena to get him locked out of the cell so that he could take the WWE Championship after by pinning Punk. I thought that was rather clever. From there, everything kind of went wrong, but once the dust settled, we saw that Del Rio was our new champion. And of course, people whined about that. People, John Cena doesn't have the title anymore. Celebrate. I'm serious. All of a sudden, you know, we finally get a compelling storyline, something where the entire company is involved. You have every single wrestler potentially impacted by the events that are going on at the top of the food chain. Yet all I hear is, oh, CM Punk getting buried again. It's all Triple H's fault. Oh, Triple H is taking over the show. He's taking up more TV time than should have been taken up by CM Punk. Oh, they only put the belt on John Cena for 2 weeks just to put it back on Del Rio. That was stupid. Shut up, IWC. Seriously. You are not understanding the chaos. So, to that, I'm going to take a quick peek here at our pick'ems. Fourth, I saw that you didn't turn anything in this time around, I take it.
No, I actually, something came up, but like I said, even if I had the time, I probably wouldn't have, because I just didn't have that interest in the pay-per-view, you know?
Fair enough. Let's see. VRM, unfortunately, has been stomped to the bottom of the pile with only a 2.5. Bear, my dear Bear, ended up with 3. Not bad for his first attempt at the pick'ems. We had a minor cluster for second place with Carl and Ethan with 3.5. But there was a big dog pile at the top. Hey, that sounds like the pay-per-view. Well, seriously, at one point during the main event of the pay-per-view, we had everybody out there. And let's see, we had, how many people actually picked? We had a dozen or so people pick, and a full third of them are at the top. And those four that are at the top are Mr. Jim Williams, who normally is in VRM's spot. Tyler Brown, who's usually in the middle of the pile when he does turn in his pick'ems. Myself, who felt very comfortable with my choices, although the one thing that did burn me was the fact that I was probably the only one who picked Hunikara in the Sin Cara debate match. Leaving our fourth winner is Stat Boy Josh Henniger. Now I'm going to have to ask around to see what the ruling is for does the ties just go back to the actual champion? How did we do this?
I remember it used to be that if the champion was in the tie, then they would still remain champion. I don't know if it was changed at any point.
Well, I will have a better ruling for it, and we will bring it up on next week's show. So, let's see. No sign of Brian. I just got a text from Trista. I wish you could be here, gal, but unfortunately she has fallen among the ranks of the unemployed and cannot afford to call into the North American Wrestling Connection. For her, it is a long-distance call. So, if any of our regulars happen to be listening, we've got 2 spots. Please come by. I was originally just going to lock the whole thing down and say as soon as our 4 came in, we'd be done. But just the 2 of us, come on. We're going to need more people for some better conversation. I know we're not going to get Jason. Jason is observing a holiday today. But Mr. Brian Henniger apparently has walked out on me and needs to get his butt over here and get on the show. VRM, I know you're out there. Can you hear me? Log in, you know, jump in. Anyway. So, now that I've gotten that bitching out of the way, we need to talk about this company-wide storyline that I will continue to praise. And that is the walkout. Now, I'm pretty sure you watched Raw for us. And did you do a quick head count while they had everybody gathered out there while Triple H was extolling his position and telling us how much he was doing it for the fans and not necessarily for the other wrestlers?
I did pay attention to some of the people that were there, but I also noticed that they wanted to protect mainly Cena, Orton, and Punk because they weren't out there for the no confidence vote.
Aha, and somebody is voting some confidence. Is that you, Brian?
No, this is not Brian.
May I ask who's calling, please?
My name's Shane, and I'm just, it's the first time I'm listening to this show, actually.
Oh, welcome aboard, Shane. Normally I don't take callers during this event, but I unfortunately am extremely shorthanded. I'd like to get your opinion. Did you actually get to see the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view?
Yeah, actually, I did watch it, and I really don't understand what people are moaning and bitching about. To be quite honest with you, I didn't think it was that bad of a pay-per-view.
And I agree. I feel like I got more or less my money's worth. I still think it's a little. I still think the pay-per-views are a tad expensive, but I'll take it for the chaos that erupted through the end of the main event.
Yeah. What more can you want? I mean, that's pretty much leading up to a big storyline that's going to be happening, probably rounding up for Survivor Series and things like that. So, if I was people, I'd start thinking more about where is this leading to, not to just what it is. Like, oh, this is BS, man. Isn't that attacking these guys? Like, why are they attacking them? Or who's making them attack them? Things like that.
Precisely. And that leads us up to Monday night. And after I did a bit of a head count, I can give us a short list of who wasn't out there. As Forth mentioned, Cena, CM Punk, Randy Orton were not out there. Big Show wasn't out there because he wasn't quite back yet. He was scheduled to be back for SmackDown, which he did show up. Refresh my memory, either of you. Was Sheamus out there?
I believe
yes.
He was.
Yeah, he was.
Thank you. Of the referee corps, there were actually two referees that were not there, and that would be Jack Doan and Charles Robinson. Now, it's my understanding Charles Robinson was actually on vacation and probably would have been out there if he had been traveling with the crew. To this, we have this handful of really big names that were out there. Now, Shane, do you think the having the mega faces not being out there, was that to protect Triple H, or was that to perhaps protect the up-and-coming programs when people would say, go ahead.
Well, for those that didn't watch SmackDown this past week, Randy Orton actually did a really good thing along with the storyline. He's come out and said in front of everyone, the reason why he wasn't there for the walkout is that he will deal with Triple H personally in his own time. So that's to pretty much cover Triple H's ass and cover Randy Orton's ass and everything else. As far as John Cena goes, everyone knows, like, if Cena was to be out there for that moment and he walks out, that no one's really going to believe that, because Cena's a company guy, so if Cena walks out, then it's like, oh, well, we know that this is a work and everything else, so what are you going to do? So that's why I left Cena out of it. As far as Punk goes, well, I have no idea why Punk wasn't out there. In fact, I would have liked Punk to be out there doing what he does best, talking on the microphone to Triple H, but instead you got some, I guess, real moments from, like, Mike Chioda, who's known Triple H for many years, Jerry Lawler, who's been in the business for years, and yeah, so it made it a bit more, I guess, emotional and real, so that way people were just selling it more.
I can buy that, but it just intrigues me, when, with the exception of Lawler, the people that did speak Monday night were all heels. That sets off an alarm. That sets off my alarm bell, but go ahead.
Yeah, and Mike Chioda, because Mike Chioda is just a referee, so he's not really a heel or a face. So,
fair enough. I should have included him. I'm also going to throw in that Beth Phoenix, while a heel, her comments did not ring very true to me. Fourth, did you hear what I heard when it came to her her monologue and all this?
I heard something like about how she was more concerned in the chaos because she felt like the women were at a bigger risk, something like that. But it did sound a little odd because of how her and Natalia have basically been at war with the rest of the women.
And her comment, "But we're girls, Beth. I've seen you throw guys around. I've seen you in a Royal Rumble." It continues to not make sense to your whole evolution of your character being pin up strong, yet you're out there in a leather roller derby skirt, which is not exactly, if I may use a terminology of yours, Shane, not proper wrestling attire.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, though, and I might cause a bit of a shitstorm with this, but I could really care less. With what Beth Phoenix said, and everyone might think I'm being a bit overdramatic with this, but it sort of rings true if you think about it. Beth Phoenix has just literally destroyed not only the work that she's just done with this whole storyline of her being like she's going to get rid of all the pretty women and that, and we want to see some real tough women. And not only that, but she's also destroyed the work that these women wrestlers in WWE have built over the past how many years? Like 20 years or so? And just with that one sentence of, "But we're girls," I'm sorry, but I've seen a lot of women get in that ring with guys and, in my personal opinion, actually wrestle better than them. So, in my personal opinion, Beth Phoenix has just pretty much screwed over the women's division and pretty much just sent them back to the Stone Age, if you ask me.
I wouldn't go back that far, but personally, I feel she's just utterly destroyed her character and any credibility that she and Natalia had. She does insult other women wrestlers. She insults she may insult the Trish Stratuses and the Nulas and the Mae Youngs. And as for guys getting the ring, girls wrestling the guys in the ring, I'm sure some of the guys just do it willingly. Whoops, that is the wrong button. Excuse me. Stay out of this, Mr. COO. You are not the one I was asking about this. So anyway, and the sounds are really bad. Is it just me?
Everything's good on my end.
Okay. For some reason, the sound effects are very, very quiet on my end, so I'm... But... actually, I think there's a real-world connotation to this whole walkout business. Do you think that the WWE might have been inspired by the two lockouts in professional sports this year? Fourth, what do you think?
I think they probably were, because they tried to jump on the whole baseball thing in the early 1990s with some slogans and with putting Steve Lombardi in baseball pattern face paint. So I would not put it past them to do it this time.
Now, Shane, are you actually calling us from the UK?
No, actually I'm calling from Australia.
Wow. Okay. I'm floored. You might have heard a little bit about how American football had a brief lockout over the summer, and I don't know if the basketball one is still going on, but the fact that professional athletes have been sitting down and refusing to ply their own craft, I wonder if Vince is playing with that right now.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, with Vince McMahon, you never really know what he's going to be thinking next, what he's going to do next, and he'll take situations and make a creative idea out of them. I mean, look at the tribute to the troops and things like that. So with the whole lockout, it wouldn't really surprise me if he's just taken that idea and said, oh, well, you know what, let's make a whole storyline out of this and put it towards his creative team. But I'm just interested to see how it actually plays out.
And thus, you know, that's my rant at the beginning of the show. This is, they're doing it right if we're all thinking, what happens next? It's wonderful to see a storyline that actually encompasses the entire freaking company, where you will actually see, you know, granted these are thanks for coming moments during the walkout segment, but when you see guys like Titus O'Neil and Percy Watson, Tyler Rex, Caitlin was among the diva compliment. I don't think Kelly was with the divas. I should have double-checked this when I was watching the video package tonight during SmackDown. The fact that this storyline is actually turned David Otunga into somebody interesting. That in itself is a bit of a miracle.
Yeah, but with that, it's you're taking David Otunga, a guy who's a former, correct me if I'm wrong, two-time or three-time World Tag Team Champion, and now you've turned him into a new generation Christopher Nowinski. And now he's just being a lawyer and talking and not really doing any wrestling. So it sort of makes me think, well, how can David Otunga say he's the one in danger when he's not really getting in the ring?
Now, I think he also has an ulterior motive after the lambasting he was getting from the announce table with Jerry Lawler essentially considering him and McGillicuddy the bland leading the bland. But the fact that now they're sculpting a character for Otunga, something that Otunga didn't get a chance to really use, being the secondary talker in the Nexus. I'd be curious to see how far the Nexus angle would have gotten if they actually had the backing of quote-unquote legal counsel.
Yeah, indeed. It would have been interesting to see, but then again, you would have had people complaining eventually, because unfortunately we live in a world where people, you just can't satisfy everybody.
No, and unfortunately, you know, the self-important internet, the IWC, since you're a first-time listener, Shane, I'll explain to you the one, twos, and threes that I talk about. Number ones are people like us, like you, sir, who are willing to look at the entire picture and be able to discuss this with a fair amount of tact. But French is indeed legal when it comes to affairs of certain individuals like Michael Cole, which unfortunately makes me delve into lower territories. Number twos are the people that are fairly easy to talk to, but they've got their berserk buttons. There are certain things that you can completely and utterly set somebody off with. Then there's all the idiots at the bottom of the pile, which is about 75% of any wrestling message board you'll attend, whether it's the Death Valley Driver Boards, Online Onslaught, Punisher's House, the fan boards, which is where I tend to frequent. There's a bunch of guys that I just want to go out there and just, if I could, I could run down the ramp and slap each and every one of them in the face.
Yeah, well, you've got that on some of the more mainstream media sites as well. Like, I know this for a fact because I've seen it on YouTube. A few people that do wrestling reviews and stuff like that, and there are some people that are good at what they do. They bring up good, valid points and actually discuss it. But then there are just the quote unquote marks. And that will just go, oh, well, stop hating on this person and stuff like that. And yeah, it's really frustrating to see. But then again, it's it makes the world go round, I guess. You can't really have wrestling talks without them. Because then at least you can say, oh, I've just proved this person wrong, so.
That's true.
Admitted. It's just there are some days where, you know, like I said, the rant at the beginning of the show here is pretty much everything that I had seen after the pay-per-view was over, and I just scratch my head and say, if you hate it that much, why in the world do you still watch?
Exactly. Like I've seen and heard multiple people say, if this pay-per-view is going to be crap, then I'm not going to watch it. Well, and I don't want to really bring this company into it, but I've just heard multiple things about it. TNA, I've heard people keep complaining about this company, saying, oh, I swear, if I see Hulk Hogan come out one more time, I'm going to stop watching TNA. It's like, who cares if Hulk Hogan comes out and just cuts a promo? Aren't you there to watch your favorite people or watch these athletes get in the ring and bust their ass for you? I mean, that's what they do, day in, day out. So what if Hulk Hogan comes in, cuts a 10-minute promo, and everything else. What's more important is what happens afterwards when you have guys actually come out and do what they do best, which is wrestle.
And, no, I shouldn't cut you off, sir. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. It's just, I was just going to say, yeah, that's what we're here to do. We're here to watch wrestling and watch these great athletes entertain us. And that's what they do, week in, week out.
Well, and I'll just put out my thing about TNA. The last full episode of Impact. The rest of the time, it's just me flipping by. The last episode of Impact I watched was back last October, right after Bound for Glory, where I wanted to tune in a show to watch people wrestle, but nobody got in the ring to actually wrestle for 45 minutes. And the course of that show, there was less than 10 minutes total of wrestling. And I'm speaking in just those first 2 hours, since they had the 1 hour bonus program after that. And the main event bled into that. And I said, I'm not sticking around for that, because you should have been able to put all this wrestling in the first 2 hours. If you're using that third hour to explain storylines, then that 45-minute promo at the beginning of this show should be back there. And I've since not gone back, and they really haven't given me a very good reason to. With one of their world champions sitting in jail as we speak, their current champion with a pile of DUIs, Hogan has purportedly re-signed. And while the only good news coming out is that Russo has been pulled down as the head writer to be replaced with, I believe, Bruce Pritchard?
Yep.
Okay. Then, you know, we're taking baby steps in the right direction, but you're still taking a couple of steps back. It's going to take a lot for me to go back. I can at least say, no, I'm not going to watch. and I've held to that almost a year now.
Yeah, well, but here's the thing, and here's the thing people also have to realize in just the wrestling world in general. Like, they say they get bored, like, Vince McMahon's not doing the right thing, and Vince McMahon's not doing that. Well, here's a question for you. Does Vince McMahon have any real competition? I mean, look at what you're seeing on Impact. You're pretty much seeing, how do I put this, you're seeing pretty much repeats of WWE, pretty much.
I was going to say WCW, but go on.
Yeah, and WCW as well. Like, I've seen TNA try and steal the Montreal Screwjob from WWE. I've seen TNA do what WWE has just recently started doing with the whole Triple H and CM Punk thing and try and do a personal storyline again, but they've failed at that.
Mm-hmm.
And now the coup de grace of all of it, Immortal, or as people in the IWC or anywhere around the world will call it, NWO 2.0. So, really, all you have to say is why Vince McMahon doesn't have to worry about this stuff because all he has to deal with is a bunch of guys that are dealing with the old style of wrestling instead of evolving.
Mm-hmm.
So he really has no competition, or at least none that are televised anyways.
No. And it's going to take a lot to find an organization that can come up to that level. And it's going to take a lot for somebody to break into what at this point is indeed in the television level anyway, a monopoly. Oops. We're a little bit past our midpoint, so if you'll pardon me, we do have a anonymous general manager on this show. And no. Here we go. First he says, Shane, well, please, you know, welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. It's pleasing to know that we have a have an audience in Australia. We've done a pretty good job about talking about the walkout. It feels like there's a bit of a walkout due to the lack of guests and participation coming from our chat room. That means we might even have a few minutes to pause and pay some bills. So, Shane, we've reached our midpoint of the show, and at this point we do have to step away for a little bit of advertising. But we'll be back right in just a couple of minutes. So, will you stick around?
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Thank you, sir. We'll be back in about 4 minutes.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net.
I'd rather hit you with the phone and chat mail.
I have to hit you again.
On the CLW83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Hi, we can't tell you what we have for the new season of the CLW 83 Night Shift this fall, since we have no idea what we're doing yet. Instead, here are some of the things that we know we won't have for the new season. Stupid Petrix, Dumb Viewer Mail Segments, Ron Howard, Howard Stern, Howard Hessman, William Peterson, Peter Marshall, Marshall Fields, Mrs. Peacock, Wombat.
The CLW 83 Night Shift, returning October 29th only on the CLW 83 Network.
Tune in.
Strawberries. Jim Williams doing the do-si-do. Leprechauns rubbing peanut butter on elephants. Mud wrestling. Video game.
Social issues.
Foreign affairs.
Hard news.
The rising cost of living.
Political perspectives.
Unemployment numbers rising.
You ain't gonna find any of that here.
I'm Jim Williams.
And I'm Chris Palmer, and together we are the Jersey Connection.
Give us a listen every week on the CLW 83 Network. Check CLW83.com for program listings.
And cut.
Because we don't know what f***ing time we're going to be on.
When Jason Block says it.
And I'm going to predict this right now. The Peyton Manning signing is a bust. Peyton Manning is a lot more hurt that they are letting on, and I think he's going to be out for most of this season somehow. I mean, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of Tiger Woods before he, you know, went out for knee surgery for a year. You know, because he's like, oh, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine, no, I'm not.
Take it to the pay winder. The BS Big Show on the CLW 83 Network. Tune in. Hi, this is Jim Williams, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Could you plug yourself anymore?
And I'd like to welcome everybody back to the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat. As you know, my name is Nikki Heyman. I wanted to give everybody a quick program note. December 2nd, 2011, the North American Wrestling Connection will be celebrating its 200th episode. Ladies and gentlemen, 4 years on the air, and we are still having way too much fun, even though I still can't find a fourth person to get in here. Anyway, we'll be having a special two-hour show that will start at 10 p.m. Central Time. And I'm hoping to have plenty of people to come by to listen in, voice their opinions, and depending on how good or bad the news is going on in the wrestling world, we'll talk about that too. So please, stick around. Come December 2nd, we're going to have quite a party. Now, I want to shift gears a bit from talking about the fan base and what's good and what's bad, and some of the things that are going on that are going on with WWE. One of the more interesting bits of information that is coming out from the merchandising department is that CM Punk is outselling John Cena. This has been a long time in coming, since the only other people that have come close to and maybe occasionally it passed Cena in merchandise sales is Rey Mysterio and Jeff Hardy. Shane, do you think this bodes well for Punk's career going into 2012?
Yeah, I think it does. Like, I've heard people say, like, oh, Punk's getting buried, Punk's getting, and Triple H is screwing him over. How exactly is that happening when the person that's apparently getting buried is outselling merchandise from the company man in John Cena? But it just goes to show you that CM Punk is doing his job and doing it pretty damn well. I mean, he gets on the mic, he buries people on the mic, he's not the one that gets buried.
Mm-hmm.
And look what happens. Kids like him, parents love him, and it obviously shows of how much merchandise he's selling.
I think Punk made a point of it on his Twitter a little while back. Let's see, you know, the fact that Punk is getting buried, Punk said, oh, buried in money? I've got a snorkel.
Wouldn't that be the truth, though?
I
was hoping you'd make a DuckTales reference, but
alas, my duck foo is very weak. So I would be horrible about it. I will allow you forth if you've got the joke handy.
Well, on the show, Scrooge McDuck basically has in his vault this entire big kind of stack of coins that he basically swims in, like an old 1930s swimming singlet.
Let's see if I can find. Let's see. Yes, let's see. Yeah, Punk's in the WWE title match. He's outselling, you know, Cena in the merchandise department. Actually, the best joke I've heard about this is that Cena fans have allowances, Punk fans have paychecks, and Ryder fans have PayPal. But I think this is actually pretty awesome. I have heard that Punk's shirt actually sold out 5 or 6 times over at this point, and I'm curious if the ice cream shirt has sold out yet. And maybe if his shirts are selling that well, maybe there's an ice cream company that would be out there to get these ice cream bars back on the market.
I guarantee you, if that ever happens, if a CM Punk ice cream bar comes out, CM Punk would have to Twitter again and be like, "See, I told Triple H that my ice cream bars would sell. I mean, they're selling more than all of his copies of his DVDs."
Well, I don't see Inside Out being a big seller, but WWE ice cream bars, you hit 2 or 3 generations of wrestlers with that, wrestling fans with that, because those things haven't been on the market in, what, almost 30 years? And they still talk about them.
Yeah, well, like I said, if they ever did come out with it, then CM Punk would just be swimming in even more money. So
I hope you got a good. I'm hoping you're getting a good percentage kickback on this, Punk. I'd love to see what. I would love to see how you have that written up on your contract. Let's see. This year's tribute to the troops. I should have written down the exact location, but they are not traveling overseas. It's not a matter that they don't want to entertain the troops. It's just a matter of we don't have as many people overseas, and it's more of a holiday venture at this point. I'll have to hit our namesake site. Whoops. Okay, I didn't do that. I thought I almost killed the show. I'm usually a little better prepared than this, Shane, really.
No, that's fine. No, I understand what you're saying. Like, but I guess in a way you sort of you had to expect it. I mean, you can't really expect the guys to go over year after year after year with the tribute to the troops. Eventually, they have to try and like different venues and. There are some troops that are actually home that you could do the show for. So it would still be a tribute to the troops, but just not for the troops overseas. So
here we are. Let's see. The date set for the event will be December 11th. They'll be doing it at the Crown Coliseum in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Which is surprising because I was thinking they would at least have attempted to do this on a military base like they did last year.
Yeah.
But I would think that, you know, I'd hope there'd be an open invite for any and all troops who can find their way over to this event. Let's see, what else have they got going? Ah, yes. The WWE Encyclopedia, which was released, I believe, in 2009, is they are looking at a possible sequel or update to this to the tome. I'm kind of hoping it's just going to be an updated book, only because it will help them dodge a perennial berserk button of mine. Shane, if it was just an updated book, would you be interested in purchasing it?
I really don't know. I'll be quite honest. I have never actually seen this WWE encyclopedia. If they did an updated version, then I can't see why not. I mean, if it's the same old stuff, then yeah, I guess people wouldn't want to read it. But if it was updated with some new facts and stuff like that, then yeah, I don't see why people wouldn't want it.
Fourth, if it was done as a straight up update and not a sequel, do you think there's a particular individual they will not include, even though they did in the first printing of this? I speak specifically of Chris Benoit.
Sure. There's a lot of people they won't mention. Everyone that they've released. I mean.
Well, no. Actually, Shane, the book itself covered many wrestlers that were no longer with the company, and they actually had a respectful half page for Mr. Benoit. They covered wrestlers going all the way back into the 40s. No, actually, they went further back than that. But my question was to Forth, if they did do if it was a full-blown update, do you think they would put Benoit in it?
I think they would.
Shane, this is for Forth. I'll ask you as well in a moment. Go ahead, Forth.
I think they would, because the last couple of DVD releases, the Elimination Chamber DVD, the Best of Nitro DVD, they have included him, albeit with altered commentary. So since he's already there, I think they'll leave it at that. You know, they're just trying to transition him back into history, and he's already here, so there's real reason for them to remove him.
Yeah, Shane, you had something to say to that.
Yeah, well, I actually agree. I don't see why they wouldn't. Like, I'm a bit controversial with that topic with Benoit, because I personally believe, why would you, like, completely bootleg the, pretty much ban the guy from ever being mentioned? I mean, that's pretty disrespectful to him. I mean, what happened with him was outside of the wrestling business. It's his personal life. It was his stuff. It does not tarnish what he did in the ring. So I don't see why they wouldn't put him in the encyclopedia for. I mean, I personally believe that he deserves to be recognized for his career, not be forgotten like he never even existed. Because he did. Everyone knows he did.
Mm-hmm. And Shane, you've done yourself a favor. You've pretty much won me over to be on this show. It is so hard to find somebody who's willing to say that. I've actually had somebody tell me that they would hope that someday the technology would be available that they could just paint over Benoit and re-release the footage that way. And
so
I just find that.
Let's be a bit realistic. They're already doing that. Every DVD that they're bringing out nowadays, they're pretty much like focusing on, like, if it was a triple, like the triple threat match between Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Benoit, they're pretty much only focusing on Triple H and Shawn.
Right.
You'd be very lucky these days to see a match with Benoit in it, whether it be on YouTube or even in WWE. So,
and it's to the point. I bought the WrestleMania compilation they released just before WrestleMania 27. The cover screamed every match, every performer. They didn't even talk about the WrestleMania 20 main event. It was not mentioned. It was not pictured. Not even a picture of just Shawn and Hunter. So, that's false advertising. I should have returned the book. Then again, I'd have to mail it to WWE headquarters, and they would just tell me, deal with it. So, but we are getting off the subject here. Let's see. Ah, yes, I will have to go back to the walkout because there's a little bit of damage control going on. I believe this was announced on the website that at least an agreement was made that superstars would still go and perform at live events since Triple H does not attend those. At least when he was still a wrestler, he attended many of them, but at this point he is taking a hands-off to the house show events so that they don't have to worry about giving out refunds because people thinking that the shows are going to get canceled. I actually had a bit of speculation with one of our other co-hosts. This was offline a few days ago. He suggested they should have just canceled SmackDown off outright or potentially cancel Raw the following Monday. Shane, this would have been a logistical nightmare.
Yeah, it's a bit ridiculous, and especially when you've had pretty much, I don't know if anyone else knows about this, but Triple H has actually come out and publicly said he is not stepping down. And he's actually guaranteed, and I'm actually getting my back straight before I say it, he's guaranteed that there will be superstars turning up some of the top stars will be turning up to the show. And I've actually got it right here in front of me. Triple H vows to, he's not stepping down. John Cena, CM Punk and Randy Orton, the three you just mentioned, Sheamus and Big Show will headline Monday night's telecast. So, I don't know exactly how that's going to work out or how they're going to play that out, but we'll have to wait and see.
It kind of amused me for it then. I wonder if you noticed this on SmackDown. They ran the ad that Shane's referencing, and it seems that the announced team were not privy to that, judging from some of their reactions near the end of the show. Your thoughts, Forth?
Something tells me that it was probably indeed something that they had to put in on Wednesday or Thursday, that they probably didn't even think to edit out some of the commentary or edit out any close-up where they talked about it like that. So it was definitely kind of an, not quite a funny moment, but at least a little bit of a suspicious moment.
Although I give bonus points to Booker T for saying that the only reason he left was because he had to go to the bathroom and he thought the show was over. minus several million to Michael Cole for calling him out on it, since Michael Cole walked out and I was hoping he was just going to keep on walking. So, let me see. One of the minor... I'm sorry, Forth, were you about to say something?
No, I just laughed and kind of agreed.
Let's see. One person walked out and was handed a prescription for a 30-day vacation. Darren Young, who has been holding up, I guess, what's left of NXT Redemption, is going home for 30 days. Shame on Black Cena. Unfortunately,
yeah,
go ahead, Shane.
I know, like, with NXT Redemption, like, I've actually heard a few people complain about it. They don't really understand the point of NXT Redemption. And to be quite honest, I've really doubted myself, but I understand, like, the winner gets a spot on NXT Season 6, and it's like, oh, okay. So, and actually, someone did bring up an interesting point, because we all remember Johnny Curtis from NXT, the NXT winner.
Yes, the man of the man of the visual colloquialism.
Yeah, exactly. Where is his WWE title shot?
Oh, I'm sure I'm sure that got forgotten. Unfortunately, they can't do a visual representation of Johnny Curtis being thrown under the bus.
Yes, unfortunately they can't. But But then again, if you can give Zack Ryder a WWE title shot, then surely you can give this other guy that apparently earned his WWE title shot, just give him like a 5-second match, surely.
And they probably feed him to Mark Henry, just like Zack Ryder's was never in doubt. Johnny Curtis's wouldn't have been either. What was I gonna say with this? I was going to go somewhere with that, and I have been stopped. Oh, with Zack Ryder, who a couple of the IWC were complaining about that. In some bonus footage from Raw, Zack Ryder came out and essentially said he changed his mind and he'd had his video camera ready and was trying to get some bonus footage for Z Long Island Story, and was happily rewarded with not only getting Triple H on his show, but ended up getting a pedigree. I thought it was funny. The internet was complaining because we all know Triple H.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
I personally found it funny. I didn't really.
Whoops, Shane, you muted out. Are you still there? I hope I didn't hit a button. Shane? Bugger. I really wanted to hear what he had to say.
Yeah.
That's all right. I thought it was hilarious, and it was 100% harmless. It's not gonna stop Zack Ryder's t-shirt sales. He's not in any kind of in-ring feud, and it essentially put him back in the same direction with the rest of the wrestlers, judging from how he was interacting with Teddy tonight.
I definitely want to find this video now. This is some kind of the sound of it.
It's awesome. It's right up there. It's right up there with Triple H pedigreeing Hornswoggle. So, one last thing before we call it a night. Let's see. What shall I mess with? Ah, yes. I just want to say that poor Jeff Hardy is sadly stuck in jail. Unfortunately, it won't be
forever.
He'll be back in time for the next round of tapings. Actually, quick injury note. Rey Mysterio is getting in a bit of hot water with the WWE because he's using, quote-unquote, his doctors out in California instead of going to Dr. Andrews. I don't see the harm in it, Forth, but what do you think?
I can at least see why they would. I mean, they probably shouldn't, but I think they want to have the idea of everything is regimented, the wellness policy is enforced, and maybe they felt like it would probably kind of go against that image.
Fair enough. Shane, I'm glad you came back. Real quick, we're in our last minute. What do you think about Mysterio using doctors out closer to home than going down to Alabama to be taken care of by world-class surgeon Dr. James Andrews?
I personally think like Mysterio just went and did that because he wanted to spend more time at home with his family rather than having to travel down and deal with Dr. Andrew. So, but it seems like he's doing well with his recovery. I mean, I've seen a video that he just recently did on his recuperation. He seems to be doing well. But yeah, it just seems like he wants to be a bit closer to his family, and I can't really blame the man for that.
Fair enough. That's actually going to do it for our show. Shane, please stick around for archives. I do have a couple of questions for you as we go off the air. So thank you, gentlemen, for helping me out with the North American Wrestling Connection. Good night for the live crowd. And with that, we're in archive. Shane, I just wanted to thank you so much. Your insight and your opinions have been most welcome on this show, not just because we've been shorthanded. You seem You seem to be fitting in with my thought patterns mostly, which is probably why I'm so freaking biased. Would there be a way that you could get in touch with me, perhaps on Facebook, and we could talk about having you as a regular? Would you be interested in joining our show?
Yeah, sure, that's no problem. I actually do a couple of my own radio shows here on Blog Talk as well, but they're more of a like in-game type thing. But yeah. But yeah, sure, no problem. I wouldn't mind doing that at all.
Fourth, I'm glad you were able to pop in. I'd gotten the bad news from Trista. She said she couldn't afford to call in, and Brian Henniger is begging forgiveness on my IM, which maybe I'll forgive him. I haven't decided. But instead, I think I'll just take his own catchphrase, and the next time he comes on the show, I'm going to hit him with a folding chair.
If you would like to leave a question, comment, or if you want to find out any information on our podcast and our services, please send an email to clw83network@gmail.com. Again, that's clw83network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.